Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I'm joined today by Jim Joyce. He's the executive director of the Myasthenia Gravis Association of Western Pennsylvania. Jim, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Jen. Really happy to be here.
Well, we always have good conversations about health when we're on the call, and I appreciate you taking the time to really explain and educate people about this neuromuscular disorder that's pretty rare but can really create some grave muscle weakness. So, take us from the beginning from people who may not have heard about myasthenia gravis before.
Yeah, and that's great. So, and as you said, myasthenia gravis is a chronic neuromuscular disease, and it's a disease that causes serious weakness of a person's voluntary muscles. So, things that we take for granted, it's things like standing, gripping something, maybe lifting something up, breathing, swallowing, maybe even blinking your eyes, can really be impacted if someone has myasthenia gravis. And as of right now, we don't know what causes myasthenia gravis, and there is no cure. But fortunately, over the last couple of years, there have been really some breakthrough treatments. So we don't have a cure for the disease, but if somebody has myasthenia gravis, there's a lot more treatment options out there that can help them lead a very normal life, even with the disease.
What are we talking numbers wise here?
So myasthenia gravis, as you said, is a very rare disease. It's estimated that probably about 80,000 people in the United States have myasthenia gravis. So that works out to about 1 in 7,000 people.
Okay, 1 in 7,000, but that still adds up over the years and months. And, as this continues to progress, more and more people are impacted by this. So, can you tell me, a little bit about diagnosis and, what would a doctor do? And I think it's part of your job, right, to educate the medical community that this is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things, because it is such a rare disease, it does take sometimes longer to diagnose it because doctors are sort of going down through their checklists and trying to determine what's causing these symptoms and issues for that individual. So, as I said, it impacts someone's voluntary muscles. So, someone may present with maybe facial drooping or slurred speech. Again, maybe having difficulty standing or gripping something or lifting. They may have that weakness in their arms and legs. So many times, initially, someone with myasthenia gravis, especially if they have the facial drooping or the slurred speech, someone may think they actually are having a stroke.
That's
So
what I was going to
obviously,
say. Yeah,
that's a
that's probably the
very
first thing that the doctors are saying. Oh, we got to run the CT, we see if it's a stroke.
correct. And obviously, that's a very acute situation, very dangerous situation. So doctors are, really going to try to rule that out before moving on to, other diagnoses that may be impacting that individual. So once someone, has the proper blood test done, that's how they determine that they have myasthenia gravis. It's usually diagnosed through blood work, but again, sometimes it could take a while to get to that diagnosis, and that's when an organization like us will come on board and really support them. They may be working with a neurologist in the community, and their neurologist may say, here's your diagnosis. And because it is so rare, many times people are just overwhelmed by the fact that it's probably something they've never heard of. They're not sure if this is life-threatening. Is this something that they could pass on to, their children or their grandchildren? So we really try to step in and do a lot of education for the patient, for their family, but as you said as well, for the health care community as well, because it is such a rare disease. There may be doctors who have never treated a patient with myasthenia gravis, and they may be coming to them for care. So we try to support those individuals as well.
Kind of doctor? Is it mainly neurologists who they would send a patient to?
So normally it's diagnosed primarily from a primary care level because it is, a blood work type test that diagnoses it. But once someone's diagnosed, it's usually a neurologist, and usually a neurologist that has some specialty or training related to myasthenia gravis because it is such a rare disease. You may have a neurologist who just has never seen a person in the practice because, there's just not a lot of myasthenia gravis patients out there.
Wow. And it sounds like some of the treatments, like you might have to be on multiple treatment paths and multiple medications because not everything is, sort of a magic bullet cure, right? I mean, one thing could help the double vision, something else could help the chewing, something else could help the weakness, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and as I said before, it is sort of an exciting time as it relates to people with myasthenia gravis because there are many new treatments out there. And for many years, it was treated, by taking prednisone, a steroid, trying to help sort of suppress some of the issues that the person was having. So it was a good treatment. It let that person lead, a relatively normal life. But at the same time, those medications may have severe side effects related to them. And it's not always a medication that you can stay on for years and years and years without having some other, serious side effects. So these new treatments are very exciting. They've been out probably for the last 2 or 3 years. They're having some great results. And again, that's something else that we can really help is if, people have questions about those, we can connect them with people who have a lot of expertise in explaining what those treatments are, how they work, maybe connecting with their doctor to explain those new treatments if that's necessary, and really helping them determine what treatment path is best for them.
That's wonderful. Anyone we know with myasthenia gravis or anyone out there who's been a real advocate for research and treatment?
So I think many people, if you watch television, especially, there's been a lot of new commercials related to myasthenia gravis, and I think that's really been the biggest thing to help spread the word about the disease. With these new medications, the companies that are producing them are actually dedicating some fundraising or some marketing dollars to promoting what myasthenia gravis is and this new treatment. So in terms of locally here, we really don't have a spokesperson for myasthenia gravis. We have some great people who have the disease that are very dedicated to what we do. We have started different committees within our structure that we focus on education and advocacy, and we have a lot of people from the community that have put a lot of hard work in making sure those committees have a good focus and a good goal for the year. So we're very happy to have those people on board with us.
Now, this isn't just work to treat the physical symptoms. There are also emotional and psychological implications to having this disease. And part of what you do is the support group, correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that's a great point that, many people, because it is a physical disease, it affects, that person's muscles that, they will see some of the physical issues that that person may be dealing with. But because it is such a rare disease, many times we hear a lot of people say they just feel very alone when they're diagnosed. They don't really feel like there's a lot of options for them. So we have a great support group. We meet on a monthly basis in person, and then we do education and different support groups virtually as well every other month. So we really try to surround those people with as many resources as possible. And I think just being in a room with other people who may be experiencing similar things that you are sort of helps you not feel so alone. And you can sort of bounce ideas off each other, or maybe you have the ability to say, oh yeah, absolutely, I go through those same things. And that way, even if you may struggle trying to explain to someone who doesn't have the disease exactly what you're going through, if you're talking to someone who's really speaking your same language, it can very much help with some of those emotional and psychological things you may be dealing with.
Well, definitely. I mean, connecting to the community and your website is fantastic because it has information on it for, helping explain medication interactions and helping explain pregnancy with myasthenia gravis. I mean, those are all things that if you're diagnosed, your doctor probably can't sit and answer questions for 3 hours.
Absolutely right. And that's something else we really try to fill in some of the gaps that may exist. And, our healthcare system is such that doctors don't necessarily have the time that they can put half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour with every patient they're seeing. They have to continually move on to the next patient to make sure, you know, they're seeing everybody that they need to see. So an organization like ours can step in and they know what the diagnosis is. You know, we work closely, you know, with their physician to make sure everybody's on the same page with what treatments are going on and what information is being shared. But we can spend much more time, whether it be on the telephone or in person or virtually, you know, via some kind of app where we're talking to them. And what we really try to do is give them a good, checklist to then go back to their doctor and, hey, these are things you may want to ask in terms of your next appointment, or these are things you want to report to your doctor. You know, keep track over time, because how you feel today may be different than how you felt a month ago or 2 months ago. So your doctor isn't going to see you on a daily basis. You have to be able to explain over time how this disease may be impacting you, so you can paint a really clear picture for your doctor of what's going on so they can best treat you.
So like when I think about the math of 1 in 7,000, I think that an average primary care patient, no, not an average, but like a high performing primary care doctor would maybe have 3,000 patients, right? 3,000 to 4,000, something like that. I don't know the numbers today. I've been out of the business a while, but I would imagine that they may only ever see one patient with myasthenia gravis. And so when I look at your website and the information that you have to share, like even medications that you shouldn't take with this disease and a Cipro, like just as an example, that's wonderful. And that comes from years of research and then gathering that information, and you're creating a whole community of people. And I think that really helps. So do people, I know you're in southwestern Pennsylvania. What region does that encompass, Jim? And then like, what's your closest neighbor of an organization?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And one of the things that I'm very proud of is that I think, if with all negative things that went on with COVID and all the issues that we faced as a country and as a world, one of the things I think was a benefit was I think it made the world a smaller place, and especially through technology. So in terms of our direct area that we serve, we do serve 28 counties in southwestern Pennsylvania, but then we also cover parts of New York, Ohio, West Virginia, and Maryland. But what we've seen in the last couple of years especially is we're getting numerous calls from across the country and actually from across the world. We've talked to people in Australia, in parts of Europe, who, you know, I think, again, because they were sort of forced to do more research on their own, they're coming across organizations like ours. And, we can, really still provide that information to them just under the auspices of, we really want you to be working with your physician. But, we'll be happy to, give you some good starting points in terms of conversations. What we really stress is that we can't be their healthcare provider, but at the same time, can really help them maneuver and get in the right position to be asking the correct questions when they do interact with their physicians.
It's fantastic. How was the organization started, your particular region?
Yeah, so it was founded in 1955. So we are coming up, if I'm doing the math right, I think on our 70th anniversary, which for a small organization is pretty remarkable. But we were founded by a father whose daughter was in, she was a teenager, and she started to experience some symptoms that were, unbeknownst to him, myasthenia gravis. And he actually took an ad out in the Pittsburgh paper at the time and said, hey, if anyone has ever heard of this disease, we're going to have a meeting where people can just talk about it and try to support each other and get resources for people who have this disease. And that was the very, simple beginnings of our organization. And 70 years later, we care for hundreds and hundreds of people and support hundreds and hundreds of people on a yearly basis.
Wow. It's wonderful. All this work takes funding, and that's why you have several fundraisers here. So I want to talk about the golf outing that's coming up on May 18th. Tell us everything.
Yeah, so we're really excited. This year, we are dedicating the golf outing to a great friend of ours, Donna Kalasek, who unfortunately passed away earlier this year. But Donna was really in many ways the face of MGA for decades. She started out as a volunteer and then came on board as our administrative assistant, and really was the point person when you called in, when you came to the office for meetings or for appointments, you were interacting with Donna in some way. So Donna was a great lady, great sense of humor. And like I said, unfortunately, she passed away a few months ago, but we felt it was just very fitting to dedicate our golf outing to her. So that outing is going to take place on Saturday, May 18th, and that's at Pheasant Ridge Golf Club up in Gibsonia. So if you've never golfed there, it's a wonderful course, really beautiful rolling hills, very scenic. We actually had our outing there last year, and all the golfers said it, you know, was one of the better courses that played on in many, many years. So we're really excited to be there. So that's May 18th at Pheasant Ridge Golf Club. We're going to have registration and check-in at 11:30 that morning, and then shotgun start at 1 p.m. We'll have some kind of lunch for them, usually some kind of hot dogs or snacks at the turn, and then we'll have a buffet dinner after the event's over when we're giving out awards and drawing prizes and things like that.
And how can you register?
It's very easy. Probably the best way to do that is just call our office, which is area code 412-566-1545. And I will, you know, make sure we have someone call you back. If you get our voicemail, we can easily get you registered. For an individual, it's $125 per golfer, or for a foursome, it's $500. And again, that includes 18 holes of golf, your golf cart, your lunch, your buffet dinner. We also have a dinner only option for $30. Many times we have some significant others if they're person is golfing, they like to come and join the party after the fact. That's definitely an option as well.
Fantastic. Jim Joyce is the executive director of the Myasthenia Gravis Association of Western Pennsylvania. He's doing a great job telling us all about the disease, the advances in treatment, and how they raise funds for this wonderful organization. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Myasthenia Gravis. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy, joined today by Jim Joyce. He's the executive director of the Myasthenia Gravis Association of Western Pennsylvania. We thank you so much, Jim, for always taking so much time with us to talk about this and really the importance of advocacy, the importance of education. Does your organization, do some advocacy and making sure you're out there talking to people in education as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd mentioned, you know, we have a great group of community folks who not only, you know, support the organization when we do different programs, but also really volunteer their time to be on numerous committees. And two of the committees in particular, based on what you just mentioned, was our education committee. And then we also had just started an advocacy committee earlier this year. And the advocacy committee, I'm really excited about, because I think that's something that, you know, as an organization, we need to do much more of. We have some good connections with some elected officials on a local and state level, and we want to really start to talk to them about the disease, how it impacts individuals, and really try to make it something that's on their radar. So when, you know, we start talking about how things are paid for and how to access care, they're well educated and can have a very sophisticated conversation about that. A couple other things that committee really wants to focus on is just trying to empower individuals with myasthenia gravis more. At a few of our committees, we had some great brainstorming activities where we talked about how just going on vacation can be a challenge, because people, especially if they may be leaving the country, many times are fearful of, you know, what if someone doesn't know what this disease is? What if I need to get medications and don't have access to them? So we're talking about putting together some resources for individuals that can help alleviate some of those fears by making it much more written down on paper or something electronic that they can share with whatever healthcare team may be caring for them. And another project that we're working on, which I think is going to be really great, we actually have some people who have some great skills, much more than I do, as it relates to graphic arts and drawing and writing. So they're actually going to try to put together a book that helps to explain to individuals what myasthenia gravis is. And then we really hope that we can work with individuals possibly to publish that book and make it available for physicians' offices to then share with patients and families, maybe when they're newly diagnosed, to help them get going in the right direction with the disease. So a lot of new things on the horizon that we're really excited about for sure.
Wow. I love that idea. I mean, that's a great resource to have, especially when some families are going to be in shock. They've never heard of anything like this and they want to understand how they're going to live and live a good life, while they're battling this or any disease, really. This is so helpful. You do a number of events throughout the year. I know the timing isn't necessarily perfect to talk about some of them, but I think we should. You do a Comedy for a Cause and you love that event. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's something that was really started even before I started with the organization. And it's run through an organization called Slapsticks Promotions. And they're a great organization to work with. They try to help not-for-profit organizations do fundraisers. And basically, we've had some the last couple of years where we do either a one or two comedian show. We're able to do like a buffet dinner, cash bar. Don't want to make that mistake. and then we have the comedy show, and all the money raised goes towards again all the programming that MGA puts on. So yeah, we're really excited. We're hopefully going to be doing that again this fall, and we're trying to find some other things that may fit in terms of additional fundraisers for the organization.
I think that's going to be really nice. And then you do the golf outing, and then you have various different gatherings throughout the year as well, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we have some education programs that we do. Those aren't fundraisers, obviously. But the one that we started that I'm really excited about, that it's actually continued, we started it during COVID because, we basically had to cancel all of our fundraisers, that we couldn't do anything in person. So we started to do a virtual wine tasting and art project, painting fundraiser. And we do that around Christmas every year, usually 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas. And we have, someone lead the art project. We have a local winery that provides several bottles of wine. And many people have sort of turned this into a Christmas tradition where they invite some family and friends over. We do that virtually via Zoom. We have the person leading the art project while everyone's enjoying their wine. And if they, want to have some hors d'oeuvres or other, food with the wine. And by the end of the evening, we're usually there for, two and a half hours. You come out of it with a, great festive Christmas item. And then also, two bottles of wine, unless you drank it all that evening. But, it's a lot of fun. And one of the things we always do is try to have that around a snowflake theme, because myasthenia gravis is many times called the snowflake disease, because it's everyone who has the disease, it impacts them differently. Just like there's no two snowflakes that are alike, there's no two people with myasthenia gravis that are alike. So we've been able to do different snowflake themed artwork, and it's always been a great time. And last year, I think we had over 100 participants in that event, everybody virtually. So it's been a great thing. And we were thinking of trying to do it in person, and so many people said, no, please keep it virtually. We love having people over, and it's really become, I think, a Christmas tradition for many people that participate.
So fun. I think it sounds amazing. If people are just joining us, I'm talking with Jim Joyce. He's the executive director of the Myasthenia Gravis Myasthenia Gravis Association of Western Pennsylvania. And he also has some details on a golf outing coming up on May 18th. Why don't you go over those details again, Jim?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So this is the Donna M. Kalasek Memorial Golf Outing. It's taking place on Saturday, May 18th. Registration and check-in starts at 11:30 and shotgun start at 1 p.m. That's going to be held at the Pheasant Ridge Golf Club in Gibsonia, PA. And if someone would like more information or would like to register, we just recommend you call our office, which is 412-566 1545. For an individual, it's $125, or a foursome is $500. And that would include your 18 holes of golf, your golf cart, some kind of lunch, grilled lunch at the turn, a buffet dinner. And then we also will have numerous activities that day, including a hole-in-one contest, putting contest, 50-50 drawings, basket raffles, silent auctions, you know, the whole nine yards. So.
Perfect. Sounds like a great day. How long have you been doing this now as the executive director?
Yeah, so I started back in 2019. So I'm coming up on my fifth year in November. I always say to people, I started in November of 2019, and then COVID came in March or April of 2020. So I had about 4 months where this was sort of a normal job, and then had to really change everything on the fly and get used to trying to do all this in much more different circumstances. So very happy that, you know, we're past that, and I can, you know, really get back to work and supporting such a great organization.
So Jim, if there is probably one of the most impactful moments or things that you've learned since you've taken this job, what would it be? What would you share with people about what you've learned about this disease and living with it, or the treatments?
Yeah, I think a couple things. I think number one is that, it can be a very devastating diagnosis because it is such a rare disease. People are very fearful because they just don't know what their life is going to be like going forward. But what I would stress to people is that there are a lot of new treatments. And even though there's not a cure for this disease, the treatments are very promising and can help someone, you know, live like they used to, in terms of, you know, being able to take part in activities and go to work and, you know, interact with their family. And, you know, there will be times where, you know, they may struggle a little bit, but there's a lot of treatments out there. And the one thing I always say to people is you're not alone. I think because it is such a rare disease, people can feel overwhelmed and just a sense of loneliness. And we really want to stress that there are organizations like ours across the country, across the world, that are here to support individuals with myasthenia gravis. So whether if you live in Western Pennsylvania, or another part of the country, another part of the world, you aren't alone. There's a lot of programs available, a lot of support available. And that's really what our mission is to support those individuals and their family members to help them live a very productive life with myasthenia gravis.
It's wonderful. And do you still see a lot of phone calls coming in, emails, people, you know, sort of new diagnoses every day looking for help or to get involved in that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's primarily phone calls and emails. That's the main two ways that the people interact with us. Many times, especially the local individuals who are newly diagnosed, will give us a call on the phone. We have built a very good relationship with a lot of the neurologists in the area. So once someone is diagnosed, they're usually handing out our information as well and instructing people, you know, you may want to touch base with this group. They can probably help you. So we usually what will happen is when we get those phone calls, we'll connect them with some of our volunteers who have clinical backgrounds, making sure that we're, you know, really giving them as much information as they're able to sort of take in at that point. And then we invite them to participate in our in-person programs, our virtual programs. We do a couple mailing lists throughout the year where we provide newsletters with not only articles about what's going on within the organization, but access to resources, things along those lines. So we really try to surround them with a lot of different resources. So whether they're more of a visual learner and they like reading something like a newsletter, or they're more of someone who would prefer, you know, doing some research on their own, maybe going online, or they really, you know, do best when they're interacting with someone, whether it's one-on-one or in a group, we try to get them as many resources as possible so they're able to do that.
Why don't you share the MGA office number and email in case people want to get involved, have questions, or are interested in the golf outing?
Yeah, absolutely. So our phone number is area code 412-566-1545. The email address, I'll just give them my email. It's my first initial and last name. So J Joyce, J-J-O-Y-C-E, at M-G-A-W-P-A. org. And then I would also, you know, recommend, if people are just interested in learning more about the organization, our website is www.mgawpa.org. And, you know, whether they just want more information about what we're doing as an organization, or they would like more information about the golf outing on May 18th, those are probably the best ways to reach us, and we will definitely help you out.
You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Thanks for listening.